Sorry about that. My Sunday school teacher kept me a little long this morning, but that's okay. We're going to get started with Shout to the Lord. If you want to stand, you're welcome to. If not, that's okay too.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to our King. Mountains bow down. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing.
Seated, Brother Brandon, you have announcements this morning. I hope y'all had a Merry Christmas. We got a slim crowd. I guess a lot of sick people today.
Yes, but good morning to everybody who came out today. We had a wonderful Christmas at our house, and you know, it just means more and more listening to my dad read that Christmas story every year. It never gets old, and it just means more to me every single year I hear him read it. I tell you, it is a great blessing. And so we were greatly blessed this holiday season. I sure pray that all of you are too, lifting up the name of Jesus and glorifying him on the day that we have set aside to worship him on his for his birth and coming to this earth to live in the flesh for us. We've got a few things going on. We still have Lottie Moon. But I guess this is probably the last Sunday because it's just through December. So if you haven't given to Lottie Moon and want to, I think this probably will be our last Sunday for the Lottie Moon offering. Wednesday, be New Year's, no service on Wednesday this week either. And then January 5th, the postponed Fifth Sunday singing at Cornerstone. So it's always a blessing to go and participate in the singing and worship God with them. And so I'd encourage us all to go next Sunday night. We won't have services here, but we'll have our services over at Cornerstone for that singing. So come over and join us there. Anything else? Is that it? Okay, we'll get back to letting Miss Jackie sing. That's always good. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you have done for us. Lord, for saving our souls, Lord, for giving us hope in a world where there is no hope aside from you, Lord. Please lead us today, Lord, in worship of you. Give us the hearts and the minds and the ability just to lift you up more and more and more. Forgive us where we failed you. Help us to seek you in all that we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to continue our worship this morning with hymn number 250. Nope, wrong thing. Sorry. Wrong program. Hymn number 688, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. We'll sing all four verses. How great thou art. All four of it as well.
See the stars.
Back here for a second with Brooks. We have a song. He and Tara actually sent me the song. I think Tara sent me to me a month or so ago. It's a beautiful new song. It's called Fade Away. It's new. If you know it, feel free to sing along. If not, just listen and let the words pour over you because it's beautiful.
Speak to me. You're the only voice I want to hear. Walk with me. Show me who you are as I draw near. If you're not in it, then I don't want it. Let all else fade away. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Let all else fade away. Satisfy. You're the only one I'll ever need. Holy fire. Burn away the old that stands between. If you're not in it, then I don't want it. Let all else fade away. Take the whole world. Jesus, let all else fade away. Let all else fade away. 'Cause your name is the only name that matters, and your heart is all that I desire. And not my will, but yours alone forever. Here's my life, have your way. 'Cause your name is the only name that matters, and your heart is all that I desire. And not my will, but yours alone forever. Here's my life, have your way. Here's my life, have your way. Here's my life, have your way. If you're not in it, then I don't want it. Let all else fade away. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Let all else fade away. Let all else fade away. Let all else fade away. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's sing that one more time without the instruments.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Ushers, you may come forward.
Thank you all so much for that song service. Beautiful, beautiful songs this morning in praise of our Lord. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 again. Just past Christmas Day this week, and I really enjoyed going over some of these chapters that we don't talk about as much except this time of year, and go back and revisit Luke chapter 2, verse 25. When you found it, if you'd stand with me while I read. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Thank you for giving us the knowledge of you and who you are and how you came to be with us and came to dwell in the flesh and just the encouragement, Lord, of your words in our hearts as we search after you. Speak through me the words this morning that I need to say. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 25, we're talking about a man named Simeon, but I want to, again, this is not just about Simeon. I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of the men in the Bible and the men and the women of the Bible who sought after Jesus, and we study about them and we see them and we use them for examples of good and bad. But we should always, I think, put ourselves in these shoes. And so it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was, insert your name. And see how well this fits. There was a man in Newton, a woman in Newton, whose name was myself. And the same man was just and devout. Devout to the Lord, devout to God, justified by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast, but obviously, as the Bible teaches, justified by faith in God, living out his faith by works, but not justified by works. He was just because he believed God. A devout man, waiting for the consolation of Newton, of America. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. I just want to, you know, kind of think a minute. I want all of us to think a minute and put ourselves in these shoes. Think about how much of Simeon do we have in us? How devout are we to God? How much do we live out our faith? How much does God look down and justify us in his eyes because of our faith in Jesus Christ? Simeon was looking forward to the consolation of his country, to the Messiah, to the Savior, to the one who would redeem the people. We're not looking forward to the first coming. We're not looking forward to Jesus as a child, but we're looking forward to that glorious day when Jesus comes back again. We're looking forward to the consolation of America. We're looking forward to the consolation of our lives and our families and our communities. We're looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back and takes his children home. And how devout are we to that cause? Because I'll tell you, we can all be more devout. No matter how devout we are, we need to be more. I would say that Simeon was probably thought of as a little crazy. I imagine folks looked at Simeon as much as he came, and he was constantly looking for Messiah, and he is saying, well, God told me I wasn't going to die until the Messiah, I saw him with my own eyes. You imagine if somebody told you that today? They'd say, brother, you're nuts. You're touched. Something's not quite right with you. I think that's probably what they said about Simeon. He was too devout. You know, if you get a little too devout, you get a little bit too into the Word of God, you get a little bit too caught up in your Christianity, and even other Christian folks will call you crazy. They will. Other folks that go to church and say they believe in God will look at somebody who gets just a little too caught up in their love for the Lord, and there's something not quite right with those folks. You ever seen that? I hope you've been that guy. I hope you've been that girl. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. You know, we don't talk a lot about the Holy Ghost in the Baptist church, but we should. I don't know about you, but I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost on me every day. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life. And, you know, folks want to be led by God. We hear that. I hear that a lot, that God's just not guiding me. I'm just not getting a word. I just don't know where I'm going, and I need guidance. I need direction. I need God to write it, draw me a map and slap it in my hand. And y'all, you know that doesn't just happen by accident. But it does happen. Look at Simeon. It says, and it was revealed to him, things were revealed to Simeon by the Holy Ghost because he was devout to God and God revealed things to him. Led him to the temple. He wasn't there by accident. He was where he needed to be, when he needed to be there for God's promise to be fulfilled to him. Do you think God only does that for some? Do you think maybe he would do that for us? I know he'll do that for us. He will put us in the right place at the right time to fulfill the purpose that he has for our lives. But we've got to be devout. We've got to be looking. We've got to be seeking. We've got to be looking for God every day and his guidance. And we need to be praying and studying and looking for God to guide us, and he will. And we need to have faith that he will. You know, it shows a little bit of a lack of faith when I wake up in the morning and I say, God's not speaking to me. I don't know which way to go today. I think I'm at a crossroads in my life and I don't know where to go. Well, then sit down and pray some more. Devote more of your life to him. Be more open to the Holy Spirit moving in your life. You know what most of the time my problem is when I feel that way? It's because God's saying go right, and I want to go left. I'm just sure that left has got to, and I'm making this scene even in my own mind. Sometimes I'll make this whole ordeal in my mind that I'm seeking God, and as long as God says go left, and I'm good, and I'm going to wait. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait right here until God says it's okay to go where I want to go. You know, there's no telling where Simeon would have been on this day if he had that attitude. God revealed to him that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. He had to live this devout life searching and seeking and going to the temple and being where God wanted him to be. And God answered the prayer. God revealed the Spirit, the Holy Ghost in his life, and revealed the Lord's Christ to him. There's no way that he would have known by himself that this was the Christ. Do you think that Jesus was born with a halo on his head and just shining brightly and had Jesus wrote across his forehead? A lot of other folks saw this baby too. But he took one look, and the Holy Ghost was so strong on his life, he took one look at the baby Jesus, and he knew this is the Christ. You know, I think it's interesting about Simeon that he's ready to go when he sees the Messiah. I can't help but think a lot of us would be, let me hang around a while and see what comes, right? Let me see the consolation. Let me see the actual physical kingdom come into order. Can you see that? Not, I see the Messiah, I see the consolation, I see the baby, and that's enough. You know, we've got a problem with that sometimes. We've got to keep things in perspective because Jesus is really all we need to see. I don't have to see everything else. I don't have to know everything else. I don't have to have the whole big picture. I don't have to see the millennial kingdom to know that I'm going to live there one day. I don't have to see Jesus come and speak the word and the two-edged sword come of his mouth. And we don't have to see all of sin destroyed. We don't have to see him destroy the Antichrist. We don't have to see him set up his kingdom. We just have to know he's Jesus, that he's the Messiah. We just have to see him as who he is, whether he's this big or whether he's a grown man on the cross or whether he is the words on this page or he's the Holy Spirit speaking into my heart who he is and what I've done and how I need him in my life to save my soul. He is who he is, and it's the only name under heaven by which men must be saved. We just need to see him to know that all the promises are going to come true. That's all Simeon had to know. He's ready to go. Let me go ahead and go home. This is enough. I've just seen the consolation. He's not worried about tomorrow. He's not worried about 33 years from now. He's not worried about seeing anything else. He has seen the promise of God. Have you seen the promise of God this morning? I mean really seen it, to know it for what it is. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in Jesus, the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed God. And listen, when you know Jesus for who he is, do you thank him? Do you thank God for him every day? Listen, we talked about gratitude a few weeks back. It will change your life if you'll get up every single day and thank God for Jesus. Get up every single day. Every time you have a spare moment, thank God for Jesus. Before you go to bed at night, thank God for Jesus. You've got in your heart every time you take a breath. Thank God, not for the breath. Thank God for Jesus. Because when I breathe my last breath and I can't get another one to come in, the last thing as I'm trying to get another breath, I'm not only thanking God for that last breath, give me another one, I'm going to thank God for Jesus. Got to. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I can go now in peace. It's amazing to me, the faith of this man. He's looking for a Messiah, waiting for the Messiah to come. He hasn't given up. He didn't go home and think, I've been to that temple, and I've been there, and I've been there, and I've been there, and God has promised me that I'm going to see Him. But where is He at? You know, I think that a lot of times we pray for things, and I think God gives us an answer, and we think, well, that means that means tomorrow. So we may even think that means right now, today, within 30 minutes, this has got to happen. But if you read scriptures, that's not how God does things. He answers prayers, and He can even tell you, this is what I'm going to do. And you can stand on it to be true, but it may be 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years from now. Are we good with that? Because sometimes we're not, are we? What did I say? Sometimes we know, and we'll sit down like that, like right here in this crossroads, and I'm going to sit down cross-legged and say, I'm going to sit right here, God, until You do what I know You're going to do. Like a spoiled child. Now, God does things in His time, and that means the right time. And I don't know how long it was between the time that God told Simeon that he was going to see Jesus before he died, but however long it was, it happened right exactly when God wanted it to happen. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. Be aware, church, of God's guidance in your life because He's guiding us in a certain direction. He takes us where we need to go. He puts us on the right path for a reason and for a purpose. And His purposes are far greater than ours. And like the song said, let everything else fade away, right? He said, now I can depart in peace. For my eyes have seen Thy salvation. I love how the Bible often puts, this is God's salvation sent to us. This is who saves us, but it's God who does the saving, right? We have to remember, this is God's salvation. This is God sending His Son to save us. And He had this plan to save us from the beginning, before He even created us. He knew that He was going to need, there was no purpose, there was no reason to actually create us at all as humanity unless He was willing to send the Savior to save us. And so He did. He had a plan. And it was according to His Word. He said He is prepared before the face of all people. You know, it was the popular belief of most of the Jews that the Messiah was just for the Jewish people. It is, again, it's amazing how over and over these folks who kind of grew up in this Jewish culture in which most people would have been saying that the Messiah is only for the Jews, that over and over the Holy Spirit of God is got hope to these folks, and they're talking about a very inclusive Jesus who is not only for the Jews, but for the whole world. Aren't you grateful as Gentiles today that Jesus is not just the Messiah of the Jews, that He is also our Messiah, also our Christ, our Savior, that He didn't just decide He was going to save the Jews, but it was always the plan to graft us in love, to give us a chance. The face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that God sent men in the beginning as a light to the Gentiles? Preach the gospel. Jewish, mostly Jewish men sent to a world of Gentiles that they were taught to hate as a culture, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a light to the Gentiles. You know, Paul didn't want to do that before he was struck down on the road to Damascus, did he? He didn't even want the Jews to hear it. I can guarantee you he didn't want everybody else to hear it. And then he dedicated his life to sharing the gospel with the whole world. Aren't you glad God sent us a light? Without it, we'd all still be groping in darkness, reaching for the things that we can't even see, we don't understand, looking for things to fulfill our lives that cannot fulfill us, depending wholeheartedly just on our physical, fleshly life that's here, not even realizing or thinking about an eternity, what that eternity is going to be like, just in total, complete darkness. Without this light. I don't know about y'all, I do these mental things where I try to think about things. I honestly cannot even imagine with my imagination a world in which I don't have this light. I can't even imagine what it would be like to live my life through without knowing about the light of Jesus, without the Word of God, without the truth that God has given us, living in all the lies of the world and believing all the lies and listening to all these lies and knowing they contradict each other. And I don't even know how I could live in that. I can't even imagine it in my mind. And I know even now I'm seeing through a glass darkly and everything is not clear to me. But oh, if I didn't have any light at all, what would you do? How could you live? And the glory of thy people, Israel. Jesus is the glory, the only glory that any of us could ever have. If you've got a light to shine, it's because of Jesus. If you've got something to give, it's because of Jesus. If you have a life to live, it's because of Jesus. If you have hope in this life, it's because of Jesus. If you have joy, if you have peace, it's because of Jesus. You know, Israel wanted to pat themselves on the back and say, we're the people of God. Oh, we're better than all the Gentiles. God has chose us out of everybody. He has made us a better people. And even while they were sinning and God was sending them into Babylon, they still refused to listen to the prophets. And the whole time, while Jeremiah and Isaiah and Hosea and they were all being prophesied to in the back of their hearts. They were all, you know, I've got my own glory. And you look around today and you see people who are living under the judgment of God in so many ways, and it's hanging over our heads here in America today, and so many people living under that shadow of judgment right there. If you just pay attention, it's almost tangible around us. And people are still saying, I've got some glory of my own. I don't need to lift up Jesus. Jesus is the glory of all people. He's the only thing that we have to be proud of. He's the only thing we have to lift up. He's the only thing that we have to worship. He's the only one that means anything. If Jesus isn't the glory of your life, what is? Your job? Your house? Your truck? Your bank account? Your wife? Your kids? Your clothes? I don't know, your looks, your strength, your brain. What is it? Because whatever it is not glorious. It's not worth lifting up. It's not worth hanging your hat on. Everything I just said will fade away and be gone. The only thing that we've got that we can glorify, the only thing we've got that we can hold up and show the world that's not going to go away, that never will fade away, is Jesus. Israel always struggled with that. America, a country supposedly founded on God and God's principles and Christian ideals. Y'all, we're struggling with this. Is Jesus the glory of our nation? He's got to be the glory of your life first and mine before we can spread that to anybody else. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Every single time. Now this should be getting a little old hat to them, shouldn't it? They've heard this a few times. They've heard it from the angel. They've heard it in dreams. They've heard it from the shepherds. They know this to be true, but every time they hear it, they marvel. I want to tell you today, that old song, those who know it best want to hear it like the rest. Y'all, that's the way I am. I've been hearing this message for, it seems like 100 years. And I want to hear it again. Maybe not necessarily out of my mouth, but I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again tomorrow. I want to read it again and again and again. It never gets old, does it? Never let it get old in your life, church. Marvel. Marvel at the gift, the glorious gift of God every single time you hear it. Every time you read about it, every time you do a devotion, every time you pray and say your prayers and you know that He is making intercession for us with the Father, marvel at it. Don't let it get old in your life. Don't let it get old hat. Don't let it get boring. Don't let it be anything but marvelous every single time, church. It is marvelous. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary particularly, he said, "Behold, this child is set for the rise and fall, the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." A prophecy that is to come to pass, that so many still believe that Jesus had come. This was the time He would build His earthly kingdom, that He would be put on the throne and that all nations would come to worship Him and Israel would be restored. And they believed this was the time, but even now, Simeon says He's set for the fall and rise and there will be many. He is a son, and He will die and He will... We know that Jesus said they look for a sign, but no sign will be given them except for the sign of Jonah when he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. He's talking about his own death and being buried and then rising again. He also said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." Do y'all realize that Jesus didn't come here and that everybody was unified behind Him and everybody was great peace in all of Israel and everybody saw Him for who He is? So many times we get discouraged, y'all, because we don't understand why everybody else, there's so many people against us. When we trust in Jesus and we look around And there is a sword, even in this country, amongst us, in our communities, between neighbors, sometimes even between families. There is a sword between us. There is a division. Because, listen, there's only two kinds of people in this world. Lost people and saved people. It's not black people and white people. It's not this people and that people. It's not male people and female people. It is two, really, just two kinds of people. It's lost people and saved people. But there is a great division there. And there always will be. But y'all, our job is to cross that line and get somebody by the hand and bring them over on our side, right? We got to go over and cross that divide and go over and talk to somebody and hold our hands out and say, we want you on our team. You need to be on our team. We're on the winning team. We're on the side of Jesus. You don't want to be on that other side, y'all, where you're at. But you've got to swallow your pride. You got to swallow your fear. They're not going to like it. They see the division too, don't they? And most of them think they're on the right side. But listen, when God gets to working on somebody's heart, see, I think we make a mistake sometimes by picking somebody out and saying, I am going to pester this person to death until they accept Christ. Y'all, I can talk till I'm blue in the faith. It won't do any good without the Spirit of God being in it. The Spirit draws. And we'll speak the gospel. We can tell them about Jesus. But we've got to let the Spirit work on their hearts and on their minds. And they've got to be saved. When they do, God will get hope to them. We just got to do the work. Don't get discouraged. All we can do is tell it. All we can do is set the example. All we can do is tell people what He has done for us. And y'all, telling people to come for any other reason, because we've got a great fellowship, because we have a great song service, because we've got lots of excitement and lots of stuff going on, and we're so much fun. You know, there was a time when there weren't a whole lot for folks to do and the church was fun. But y'all, there's too much competing with fun now. Y'all, it never should have been the message. Ever. It should never have been the church's message. Come be with us. We're a lot of fun. It should have always been, come worship Jesus with us. Because He's all that matters. He's the light. He's the glory. But as loving as it is that God sent His Son to die for us, and as loving as Jesus was to give of Himself to everybody who asked, there will always be those who reject Him. Always. The majority of people will not accept Him. And the world also needs to know, although they will not want to hear it, that if they don't accept Jesus, they will be condemned to death. There are consequences for not accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe I should say there are consequences for accepting you as your Lord and Savior. And many will speak against Him. Go look anywhere today. There are many speaking against Jesus. I don't really do social media. but I have heard it is rampantly anti-God. I don't really want to hear it. But I don't have to be on it to hear lots of anti-God sentiment in the world around me. It's everywhere. Jesus is spoken against. The voices are loud, speaking against Him. How loud is the voice speaking for Him? Are we shouting His name from the rooftops? Are we speaking just as loud for Him as the ones who are speaking against Him? When you're in a crowd of people and somebody tells an ungodly joke, do you shut it down? You say, well, they're not going to like me very much. You know what? If you get them fussing at you, they're not fussing at Jesus anymore. I'd rather they call me names than Him names. It doesn't have to be big, elaborate things. Somebody's talking about some show they watch and you know it's ungodly. I don't watch things like that. I'm not going to because of Jesus. I don't listen to jokes like that. And if that's what you're going to say, I'm leaving. Don't just leave. Tell them why. They need to know. Folks need to know about Jesus. And if our voice isn't loudly proclaiming Jesus, then we're not glorifying Him in a way that He deserves to be glorified. I don't know about you, but I don't want the voices of a lost, hopeless, miserable bunch of people speaking and glorifying Satan, evil, sin, all things ungodly. I don't want the voices of a hopeless, miserable bunch of people to be louder than mine for Jesus. How can that be? We have hope in Jesus. We have salvation in Jesus. We know that we can live forever with Jesus. How can their voices be louder than ours? It shouldn't be. And a sword would pierce through Mary's soul. Can you imagine the pain that Mary felt while her son died on the cross? And she was there. And her not even... And keeping the faith of all that she has heard and all the angels had said and all these things that she has built up in her heart and marveled, and watching her son, the Messiah, die on that cross, don't you know that there was so much conflict in her? How could this be? What does this mean? But holding those things in her heart, holding that faith that this was true, that what God said was true, y'all, no matter what you go through, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, never let go of the faith that God's promises are true. Hold on to it tight. Young people, when your professor tells you that God isn't real and I can prove it to you, hold on to the promises of God. Your Sunday school teacher that may not have ever graduated high school, that taught you that God created the world in 7 days, is so much smarter than that PhD at Harvard. It's not even close. Hold on to that. It's true.
No matter what you see, no matter what this world throws at you, no matter what Satan does to try to get in your mind and lead you astray, hold on to the truth of God. Jesus is real. Jesus is true. Jesus is salvation. And those thoughts of all those people are going to be revealed. One day, everybody is going to stand before God. Every single last person, the atheist, the guy who knows better, the smarter guy that's going to prove it to you, every single person is going to stand before God, and they're going to kneel down before God, and they're going to confess before everybody that Jesus is Lord. And their thoughts of their mind is going to be revealed. And every single thing, every single thought, and every single action is going to be judged. Not how they want it to be judged. Not according to what they think is right and what's wrong. But righteous judgment from God Himself. And none of us, y'all, can stand before righteous God except under the blood of Jesus. And then it was Anna, the prophetess, 100 years old and better. Sometimes age does bring wisdom. She's been around here a long time. But notice what it says. She says she never leaves the temple. She was there night and day serving God. But how does she serve God? She's serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, I think this is a wonderful example. So many people say, well, I don't think there's anything I can do. I'm too young and I'm too old and busy, and I'm too this, and I'm too dumb, or I'm, you know, people always have an excuse. I'm too weak. I'm not good enough at anything. I'm too shy. She's over 100 years old, and she is held in great esteem because how is she serving God? Fasting and prayer. Do we think about that as serving God? Do we think about in our lives that we should be fasting? You know, we live in a world that has decided that this fasting thing doesn't make sense. That we're not supposed to deny ourselves anything. Let me tell you something. You deny yourself things for the purpose of God, it is good. We should be doing that. We should not be living this indulgent life where we think that the only thing to do is to live for the next pleasure. We should be looking and seeing what pleasure I can deny myself so I can spend time in prayer. Instead of going and doing this thing, I can spend that time in prayer. And we serve God through our fastings and prayers. It says she did it day and night. Let that sink in. Also, look at this. There were a lot of priests and a lot of people working at the temple and a lot of religious leaders, and there were a lot of people who said their morning and evening prayers, and there were a lot of people who had their phylacteries on their foreheads, and there were lots of religious people in Israel. And a couple of people who were looking for Jesus, God put them there to see Him. God made sure they seen Jesus. Y'all, we can be sure that if we seek Him, we'll find Him. He is not trying to hide Himself from us. It's that we're trying not to find Him. We have to try. I believe that we purposely have to try not to find Him if we don't find Him. We're looking for other things. We're looking in other places. We're looking for other things in our lives besides Him. And of course, you're not going to find Him then if you're not looking for Him. But the ones who were looking for Him, God made sure He found them. And listen what it says in closing. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There were those in Jerusalem. We We talk about the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we talk about the religious leaders. We see that going forward into the life of Jesus, we see all these folks who rejected him, but y'all, there were those who were looking for him. There were those who were looking for redemption. There are those today, even though I knock on 20 doors and they slam it in my face, I promise you, there are still those looking for redemption today. We've just got to find them. We've just got to keep looking. We've still got to pray and look, ask God to put them in our path. They're there. And she told everybody who was looking. All the folks. She knew who they were. They were all fanatical together. All the fanatical folks knew each other. Y'all, I'm going to say this too. Church, all us fanatical folks, we need to get together. We need each other. We get to thinking we don't. Let's get out there and we'll go our separate ways, and we're not going to pray together. We're not going to spend time together. We're not going to gather together. Listen, we need to be doing that. She shared and spake of Jesus to all those who look for redemption. Are you speaking of Jesus to all those seeking redemption around you today? Be on the lookout for somebody who needs to hear about Jesus. Sometimes, and I confess to y'all from here sometimes I get caught up in finding somebody who disagrees with me so I can change their mind and would rather have a debate than I would to look for that person who's on their knees right now needing Jesus. I could recognize the guy that wants to argue with me. He's easy to see. You know, he's really not the one we need to be looking for. Listen, are you looking for that person who is broken? Are you looking for that person who is right now, they need Jesus? They're willing to hear about Jesus. They're out there. Recognize them, look for them, and speak to Jesus to them. Every person needs him. Every single person needs him. We've got what they need. Spread the word. Tell somebody. Tell them how much it means to you. Because if you don't, they're just going to assume it doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Let me just close by saying one thing. The world out there looks at Christian people today and they say it doesn't mean that much to them. And if it doesn't mean that much to them, then I don't think I need it. Show them how much it really means in your life. Father God, I ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with understanding. Fill us with a desire, Lord, to serve you, to be devout, to fast and to pray and to tell others about you and to lift your name up and glorify it above all names and above all else that's in our lives. Lead us into this revelation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.